Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
Check, check. Is that too loud? Is this good? Good volume? That was my worst fear, was coming up here and going boom and scaring everyone off with the first thing. You know, God is good. And, you know, John talking about that ramp season we're about to be in, I'm fully in agreement with that. You know, at the beginning of the year, John was talking about a year of prosperity. Has anybody experienced some prosperity? If you haven't yet, it's still February. We got plenty of time. But, you know, me and my wife have seen some prosperity. And, you know, about a year ago at my job, I was still part-time. I was fighting for hours, and it wasn't looking like the full-time position was going to be available for a couple years for me. I'm a rural carrier. I deliver mail. I was getting frustrated. I started applying for other jobs. And, you know, to this day, I'm now a full-time carrier. God provided me the job. And you get so caught up in those moments of not realizing that he's working and you're trying to work it out yourself, but God was working the whole time. He kept doors shut that were meant to be shut, and the doors at the post office were always wide open, and I just walked right through it, and I'm blessed because of it. And my wife, with her work, you know, she went through school to get her bachelor's degree, worked her butt off, and it just seemed like she was in jobs where she wasn't getting compensated for all that work she had been putting in. And she was getting frustrated, and at her last job, we knew she wasn't getting compensated right, but she was faithful to that job. She felt like she was learning something there that she needed for her next step, and God has blessed her now to where she's finally getting compensated for what we feel like she's worth, and we haven't touched our ceiling yet. And I truly believe that we have many more steps to take, but, you know, with good times, there are bad times, and there are tribulations that we face, and the Bible warns us that we're going to go through hard times. You know, this isn't a perfect world. We know that there's going to be some hard times, and we need to have some faith, because the Bible does give us, you know, things to fight the tribulations. So I'm going to be mainly in Hebrews 11. If you guys want to turn there, on my way there, I'm going to make some pit stops. I'm going to start in John 16, 33, if you guys want to follow along every scripture. You don't have to. You can jump to Hebrews. I got like three pit stops to make on the way. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So he warns us that you will have tribulation in the world. The world is not perfect, like I said. So no matter what we do, there is tribulation, but we may have peace in him. And he has overcome the world because of, you know, dying on the cross. So immediately we see this tribulation, but we immediately see two things he gives us. He gives us peace, and we see that he's overcome the world. Now, Paul in Romans 8 is where I'm heading. He also talks about trials and sufferings, and I want to read two more little things about tribulation, and then we're going to go into the faith side of things. In Romans 8:18, I am in the wrong book of the Bible. He says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You know, we all know in Paul's time that Christians were getting crucified, and, you know, they were martyrs, and he was in jail for no telling how long, writing 2/3 of the New Testament. So for his time, you know, the suffering in that present time was rough, and we have our own suffering in this time. You know, as Christians, the world isn't getting any brighter, but we can continue to get brighter. And that even though we might have sufferings awaiting us, it has nothing compared to the glory that God wants to reveal in you. God has something that he wants to reveal inside of each and every one of us, even through whatever sufferings or tribulations we're going through. So we're going to go to Romans 5, and then I'm getting to Hebrews after this. So this is some stuff that John's talked about in the past, and he's done such a good job on it. And I don't know exactly what weeks, but go back and try to find this stuff when he's talking about the grace in which we stand. He's went really well in depth over the grace in which we stand. So Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. There's that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's another confirmation of that peace that we have, that Jesus promised us. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's that glory again. You know, what great a grace we have the chance to stand in. The grace of a Father who gave everything for us. He gave his only begotten Son for us. And through Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace. Okay? So then we're going to talk about the tribulations a little bit more in verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. How many of us would say it's hard to say glory to God when we're in the middle of a hard time? I mean, it's like the last thing you want to do. Your flesh does not want to say glory. Amen. You know, we don't want to say amen to that. But we can, because we know that God is preparing us for something through this. Because the tribulations might come from the world or your neighbor or who this, that. It doesn't matter where the tribulations are coming. No matter what Satan is meaning for evil and bad in your life, God is going to work good in it by giving you characteristics that you need in your walk of faith. Because we need this stuff that we're about to get into. He says, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, we have an amazing pastor, and he is able to preach to us so freely because of the perseverance that he has in his heart to just be free and knowing that he is going to speak to us. And he's freely able to speak and know when to stop. And you can see him when he's preaching. He'll stop himself, and he knows when to go on. That's perseverance he's gotten from the tribulations of his past. And every single one of you can say that your character has grown with your walk in Jesus because of tribulations you've been in. Your character would not be what it is today without some of those things that you've been through. It's just a part of it. So it's good to see that and remember that whenever we're in those hard times that I'm getting some character today. I'm getting some perseverance today. Glory to God, even though it's hard. And it leads to some hope. And man, we need hope more than anything, right? We need hope because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have a helper in the Holy Spirit. The Bible mentions it over and over and over. We're not in this alone. We're never in this alone. That's the biggest lie Satan's ever going to tell you, is that you are in it alone. I mean, how many times do you go through a tribulation, married or not? I mean, there's times I'm struggling with something and I feel like I'm alone, but I can always have someone. I can always have Jesus. I can always have the Holy Spirit. And I can always have the people around me who love me too. So don't forget about that. So we need some faith to get through these tribulations. So we're going to look at some examples in Hebrews. This summary might be really quick, guys. I might be in and out of here, but I try to not go too quick because I've been known to speak very fast. But, I didn't set a timer and sit there and look at how long it was taking me to do all this stuff. So anyways, I don't know if y'all were here when Jonas talked, but he talked about how people in the Bible didn't live the best Christian life. And it's true, Moses murdered somebody, and he talked about how David had his ups and downs. But there are so many people in the Bible who were still faithful through adversity, faithful through their own mess ups, and it shows how faithful God was to them. We serve such a faithful God that even when these people were making mistakes, God was still able to bless them and use them. We're going to start off in verse 4, Hebrews 11, 4. We're going to start with the story of Abel, which I find so fascinating. He says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous." Through what did he obtain this witness? Through his faith. By his faith, he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. I don't know, the story of Cain and Abel is like 15 scriptures in Genesis, so it's not a big one. But we all know that every scripture is very important, so we can't overlook how small the story is. And I don't know how many times it's mentioned over and over in the Bible. I'm not for sure. But God made a point to make it mentioned again by Paul. It was very important that it was laid on Paul's heart to know that God was testifying of his gifts, of his faith. It was so important for him, for his story to be told again. And make sure that we didn't get just, you know, the story of, you know, Cain killing his brother, but the fact that Abel was faithful. That's so important. You know, I kind of got ahead of myself whenever I was talking about tribulations and stuff. And, you know, a few months ago, I lost a brother. He was not a brother by blood, but he was a brother in spirit. Knew him since I was about 10 years old. And we lived life together. And I loved him. So a couple weeks before he passed, Lauren asked me to be part of a baptism because my dad was doing it, and he thought it'd be an awesome generational thing for me and my dad, and I was all for it. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to get used. Me and Jody had been through discovery, so I'm just hunting for a chance to be used. I want to be used. I'm trying to be used in the youth. I'm just trying to find whatever avenue God's trying to use me in. And so a couple weeks before he passed, Lauren asks me, I say yes. So then he passes away, and I was out of town. I come back into town, and they postponed it into the next week. So it's like the week before the baptism, I'm at church, and I go up to Lauren, and I'm like, look, man, I don't know if I can do this, you know? And it wasn't because of the hurt, because I was hurting, but I was beginning to feel like unworthy of it, because when you're going through tribulations, you get convinced that you're unworthy. You know, something as a Christian, you know, I've been in church my whole entire life, and sometimes you can mess up and get sin conscious and not Jesus conscious, especially when you're hurting. You can start telling yourself you're not worthy. So I was trying to use Zach as an excuse and my pain as an excuse to feel unworthy and tell Lauren, I just don't think I'm ready. And Lauren said, yeah, you know, think about it. And I was like, what do you mean think about it? And my flesh wanted to immediately like fight back. And I just said, okay. All right, that's fine. And I knew where he was coming from. I knew he knew it was going to be good for me to step out and do that. And regardless of what I did, I knew it wasn't going to be, there was not going to be any judgment. But your flesh can immediately like grab at you and say, whoa, be hurt. And I wanted to be in. I wanted to cocoon myself in, live in that sin consciousness and not look to Jesus. And so anyways, at the funeral, me and John were talking. And I don't remember if he brought it up or he might have brought it up. And I told him what Lauren said. And he said, you know, if Zach was here, he'd slap you upside the head and tell you to do this thing. Like, it's time to do it. You know, he would want you to. And I was like, I knew he was right. So I looked at John. I remember saying, I don't feel worthy. And he looked at me and he said, you know, regardless of what you're going through right now, you do this one in faith. And so we go to the river. We're doing the baptism, and my dad does the first one. We're doing men with men, women with women. And my dad baptized the first guy, and they start coming quick. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm still a little nervous in the water. Second guy comes up, and I was like, dad's like, you know, you want to baptize him? I was like, let me get the wording one more time. Let me hear you do it one more time. I just want to make sure I'm really sure of how to baptize this person, right? That's so funny. So anyways, long story short is a lot of the guys were going to the other side of the river because there was a man over there who had ministered to them and they wanted to get baptized by him. So it started to look like I wasn't going to get a chance to truly, I had helped, you know, baptize, but I hadn't really baptized anybody. And I was fine with it. I was like, hey, good, A for effort. And I mean, there were people starting to get baptized in their street clothes. Like, it was truly like the end of the line. And this man comes up with his son, and they start heading my way. And I was like, oh my gosh, here's my opportunity. I'm gonna get my opportunity, right, to step out in faith with this boy who's probably a couple years younger than me whenever I got baptized. And I'll never forget. I was so already like working it up in my head. And one of the women asked the man, hey, you want to baptize your son? And I'm just like, duh, this dude's probably going to want to baptize his son. It's cool, right? He felt unworthy. I could see it like all over his face. He was like, well, we can baptize him together. He felt the same thing I had been feeling. And we together in faith baptized his son. And I can tell you, it's probably meant more to him than it did his son. I mean, he was just so emotional. And I'm so thankful that I did that, because then I got to get used again on Sunday. Amen. With all those men. They have had nothing else work in their life. The only thing left they have is to try faith. They've tried everything. They've tried every drug known to man, and nothing has set them free. It's only put them in bondage. And to see some of the release of the emotion that they were having, it was truly like, I'm hooked. Like, I'm so excited to be a part of that. And then that man who I baptized his son with him, I saw him up here on Sunday baptizing his daughter, and it looked like he was the one doing the baptizing that day. And it's just like, you get to see these faith moments. I would have never been able to be a part of that. And I know I have personally been the guy to come on a Sunday morning when we're doing baptism and just kind of, oh, yeah. I mean, but man, when you're up here and you're a part of it, especially with people who are like, that is like, these aren't like 8-year-olds. These are like 30, 40-year-old men who have like lost everything. This is all they have left. I mean, it is truly like an inspiration of faith. And anybody who hasn't, you know, if you need to find a place to serve anywhere, just find something because now it's like whatever opportunity God puts in front of me, I want to be used, because I was used in a hard time whenever I felt like I was worthless, and it's truly blessed me. So with Abel's story, what made me think back to the baptism was, you know, we're talking about through his testimony still matters even though he's gone. And whenever Zach passed away at his funeral, John was talking about the faith that Zach had. And he said that the fire that Zach had was stronger than most Christians have in a whole entire lifetime. And that's his testimony to me. No matter what happened, and no matter where he was at the end of the day, if Satan stole his lunch, it doesn't matter. He had a season of faith, and I can hold on to that, and the people who loved him can hold on to that and know that, like, we don't want that to be the end of that faith, of that fire. We want that fire to grow. Just because he's gone doesn't mean that his purpose is gone. We can still live. So whenever I read that verse, I immediately thought back to that testimony, and it helped me tremendously. Okay, so we're going to go to verse 6. We're in Hebrews 11 still, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That's important. How easy is that? To just believe that he is? For some people, it's impossible. Some people never will. You think that's just such a simple way of putting it, but it was important because God told him to put it in there. To believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so Lauren asked me to teach forever ago, and I was struggling to find something, but then I really got hooked into Hebrews 11 and just all this faith stuff. And we go to Danny's house, and he starts teaching about God rewarding those who love him. And to love God is to seek him. I mean, if you're married in this room, you know that whenever you fall in love with someone, you're seeking them 24/7, probably more than Jesus. You know, you're really hooked in, and hopefully you're still seeking that person, you know, but to love is to seek. So he gave some scriptures, and if you're taking notes, I was going to give them to you just so you can read them in your own time. If I can find them, my notes are chicken scratch. So I apologize. I'm going to take me a second to find those. I just wanted to give you guys a couple more, because he was saying how important it is to have like more than one scripture, you know. 1 Corinthians, I know that was 1 Corinthians 2:9, Romans 8:28, and James 1:12. So it's important for us to diligently seek him, and he will reward those who seek him and those who love him. So I think that's important. We're going to read verse 7 now. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness. There's that righteousness again. We saw that with Abel, that his witness was that he was righteous. We're seeing it again, that Noah was an heir of righteousness according to faith. I was going to totally skip over that, but then I saw that correlation again. Paul is so amazing at correlations and bringing it all back. He's such an amazing spirit. The Spirit really used him. And, you know, the faith of Noah to spend hundreds of years to do what he did. I mean, it's truly amazing. And we're going to keep on going into verse 8. I'm going to read a couple of these, skip around a little bit as we go through Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place in which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, I don't know. I mean, surely everyone in here knows, but he was like 80 years old. He had everything he could ever wanted. He didn't need anything. And he, by faith, went out, not even knowing where he was going, to go find the land that God had promised him. He could have easily just stayed and said, I don't want to do that. And in verse 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. Now, God told Abraham like 3 times that they were going to have a child. At least, I think. I said at least, and I said I think. He told Abraham a couple times, I'm going to give you a son, I'm going to give you a son, I'm going to give you a son. And he told Sarah. And Sarah laughed a little bit. And then, you know, the thing is, when you're trying so hard to have a child, and God tells you that, you know they were trying to have a child, and nothing was happening. So they were starting to get fed up with it. And they, what do? They tried to figure it out in their own way. Sarah was like, go marry this other woman. And then you could imagine that whenever she bears a child, that she's got to think, man, his seed worked with her and not me. I mean, the amount of stuff there that happened, because they were trying to work it out in their own understanding. They didn't understand that God could still use them. They started to get weary. And God did not judge them. God did not say, Abraham, I cannot use you anymore. He still was able to use Abraham. So it's very important, you know, to realize, like, Sarah was still faithful, even though she had a slip-up, even though her and Abraham both, you know, they tried their best to justify it, you know. Well, if we marry you, at least it's not out of wedlock. I mean, they had to do all the rationing possible for their human brains to figure it out. And God still was like, you know what, I'm still going to be faithful, because God is such a faithful God. It says in verse 12, therefore, from one man, as him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sands which is by the seashore. That's just so powerful that God was able to use a man basically as good as dead for the whole generation and generation and generation and generation and generation and so on and so on and so on. Like the stars in the sky. And we got some pretty bad, you know, skies nowadays with all the light pollution and stuff. But back in those times, there wasn't much darkness. It was all stars. So it's just a cool way of looking at how much God blessed Abraham for his faithfulness. I think an important thing to realize how some of these people stayed so faithful is in verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." They knew that their promise wasn't all just meant for here. That there was a promise for them in heaven. You know, sometimes we get, thank you so much, I'm sorry about that. That they realized that they were only supposed to be but strangers and pilgrims on this planet. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in like what we can have right now, and God's got a promise for us that we might not even see here. They were able to understand that this wasn't the end. This is just the beginning. So it's important to realize like our time here is short. Sometimes we live, there's this preacher that me and my dad listen to, and he says, some people live their life on the planet like they're living here forever, and that's just not the case. We're not here forever. You know, God will bless us, and he will reward us, but that's not what it's about. It's not about that stuff. It's about that faith in the things afar off, that we are just pilgrims on this planet for just a short period of time. You can ask anyone in this room over the age of, I don't know, 50 or whatever. I mean, the older they get, the more they're going to tell you how short it is. I have a very small understanding of that as a 27-year-old. I can tell you, I understand it does speed up from having children. It does speed up. But you ask my dad or you ask anyone in here. Sorry, Dad, you're not that old. You ask them and they're going to tell you life is short. He's feeling it. He's feeling that pressure of I need it. I need to be used. I need to be used. He's got that yearning inside of him, because he realizes that, you know, this isn't it. So we're going to talk a little bit about Moses, and then we're going to backtrack a little bit, and then slowly wrap this thing up, hopefully. All right, in verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command, which was to kill the firstborn, punishable by death." So they just ignored that. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." He knew that he could have had anything he wanted in that kingdom. And the great kingdom of Egypt, where the pyramids were built, could you imagine the beauty and splendor? He could have spent all of his days in the palace, had all the fine jewelry, could have had 30 wives, could have had whatever he wanted that this world could provide for him. And he decided to not do that. He knew that there was a reward out him that was greater than that, than anything that kingdom could have given him. In verse 26, it says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." And when I read that, I didn't understand it. So I looked it up in the NIV. It says, "He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to the reward." And I just think that's really powerful. That there was a greater value in Christ than there was in the treasures of Egypt. Okay, so we serve an unseen God. We serve an unseen Jesus. And sometimes, especially when you don't hear him, it's really hard. Your faith can get really tested. In Hebrews 11:1, we're backtracking just a little bit. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." This whole entire universe was created just by the word of our Father. It can get hard, especially when you're going through tribulations, to have faith in things unseen and hope for things that are not seen. It can be tough. You know, we weren't there with Jesus. We didn't walk with Jesus. But he's inside of us. The thing is, I'm going to start turning to Ephesians 6. When it's your baby, I'm telling you, the heightened awareness, you're like, is he okay? What's going on? Ephesians 6. The thing is, if I can find it, you know, whenever I was in children's church growing up, we used to learn Bible, the Bible verses and chapters, and we did all that stuff. So I used to know, like, all the books of the Bible, like, back, front to back. And so I used to be, I'm still a pretty good page turner, but for some reason I'm having trouble with this one hand. But the thing is, I was trying to get to is, you know, we have faith in this unseen God. And when our faith wavers, there's an unseen enemy. There's an unseen enemy going to steal your lunch. He's got a whole army himself. You know, God, John was talking about God's amazing army, and he does have the best army. But there's an army on this earth waiting for you. And whenever you take your eyes off of him, there's an unseen spiritual warfare battle happening in all of your lives, 24/7, 365. Every single day of your life. I thank God for the faith of my parents, because without their faith and their prayer over me, I truly don't know where I would be. Because the grace of God has been on me because of their prayers and them attacking against the enemies, you know, that the Satan has. So we're going to start Ephesians 6, verse 10. We're going to talk about this armor that he gives us. Not all of it, but anyways, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. John was talking about that on Sunday too. His might is so good. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Man, Satan is coming at you with all he's got. That's all he wants, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy everything that God has for you. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And just going back to Romans, we stand in that grace of God. We're going to skip to 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen 300. If you haven't, it's too late. I can't recommend it, okay? It's a bad movie. But there's a scene where the Persians shoot arrows at the 300 and it blacks out the sun. Satan is not just shooting one arrow at you at a time. He is going to block out the sun. He is wanting to maim you. He's not just coming at your shield. He's coming at your joints, your ligaments. He's coming at any area that he can get through. We're going to read just a little bit more. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, there's a distinction there. And I love my wife because she pointed it out. And it's something that I knew, but when she said it, I was like, ah. You ever have one of those? You're like, oh, yeah, that's, wow, okay. It says, you know, the helmet of salvation. Salvation and faith are not the same thing. If you ask a lot of just like me, like lukewarm Christians, if they have faith, what's their answer going to be? Yeah, I'm saved. We have to have so much more faith than just our salvation. I'm telling you guys that there is a distinct difference between your salvation and the faith that you walk in. Having faith just to be saved is not good enough anymore. We have a race that we are meant to run. We have a purpose here to fulfill. If all we have is just, oh yeah, I'm saved, we're not fulfilling what we have, and we're not picking up that shield that he's given us to help us protect ourselves. You know, this book, along with testimony from others, is something that we can use to grow our defense, right? Grow our faith, grow all of these things that we need to protect ourselves. But it also gives us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, so that we can attack back When you defend the line for so long, you're going to eventually give up some ground. And it's time for us to stop giving up ground and to fight back and take back what's ours. How do we do that? Well, it would help to have some help. It would help to have some people around you, right? I mean, we need each other. You know, the Bible talks about it all the time. So we're going to turn to Hebrews 12. I'm going back to Hebrews. You can tell I read a lot of that. I'm going to start in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and let the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'm telling you guys, there is a great cloud of witnesses in this church. There are so many people who can stand beside you. You know, what made the Spartans so hard to fight was their shield wall. The fact that they could join together and be impenetrable. So we can come together, we can join together. If my faith shield is about the size of this, someone can come up beside me and help overlap the gaps. Someone can have my back and my side. If we can come together and we put our shields together, we can go on the offensive. We can stop losing ground. We're not in it alone. And, you know, when it talks about laying aside the weight of sin, it's kind of like whenever I was talking about being sin conscious. When we're around a great cloud of witnesses, we're not going to be as sin conscious. We're going to be way more Jesus conscious. If I'm coming and sharing with you and you're sharing with me, I'm not wanting to share about my shortcomings. I want to share about how good God is. And another thing about this race that we have, you know, John talked about when he's talking about standing in grace, that some of us, that's all we can do. And I understand that. Sometimes it's all we can do to stand. But there are some of us that are meant to start running a race with endurance. There are some of us that are meant to start setting a pace for others around us to help lead us into this ramp season. And how do we do this? Well, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. That's how we run our race. That's who we look to. When we surround ourselves with witnesses, I'm not just surrounding myself just so I can see what John's doing, what Lauren's doing, what anyone in this room is doing. I'm doing it to surround myself with what the Lord is doing. And then where are they looking at? Oh, that's cool. They're looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, how is Jesus the author of your faith? Because he had faith in you before you were even born. Because he loved you knowing the sin that you would commit and still had faith for you as he died and rose again. How is he the finisher of our faith? Because on the cross he's told us it was finished. You know, when we were baptizing people, John said to tell them, hey, have this in your mind whenever you're in the water that it is finished. And that's such a powerful message that's so easily just overlooked, that it is finished. Who for the joy that was set before him, there's some joy, he endured the cross. He endured suffering for us because he knew the joy that was waiting for him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And now we have Jesus right where he's supposed to be. Right at the right hand of God, our Father. You know, he despised the shame of sin of every one of us. And I know how shameful I can feel over some of the mistakes I've made. And he disregarded that. I don't have to live in that shame any longer. I can look to Jesus.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.